And we are live.
And welcome back to Checkpoint, your number one show, rounding up all the hottest, not so modest gaming news stories of the week and all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm one of your hosts, James Wilmer, joined today by the big man on campus, Vincent DeSantis.
It's Game Awards Day, baby.
It's Game Awards Day. It's a big day for the gaming community. Thank you to audio listeners for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for leaving reviews. Continue to do that. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on socials, all the things. Please hit us with a rating. Anything else I'm missing? Notification bell. Sure.
All that good stuff.
All those things help us out a lot.
Follow us on Twitter,
please.
Yeah. You can follow at James Walmer.
At James Walmer or at Bobashinga, right?
Yeah.
Vincent DeSantis.
That's it.
Today we're talking about Halo Infinite Review Roundup. We're talking about NFTs, and we're talking a little bit about what else are we talking about? Some gaming politics and PlayStation service plans.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Vin, how are you doing? What are you playing?
I am doing okay.
Aren't we all? It's final
letter
season,
o,
baby.
Letter K. Doing okay. I have not been playing a lot of games. I got two.
This is terrible coffee.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It ruins the morning.
It does.
I played two matches of Halo last night, and maybe two matches of Battlefield throughout the week. That's it.
Okay.
It was a sad week for me. You know.
Yep.
The last 2 weeks have nothing. It's just been nothing.
Well, in between different things, in between cooking, in between doing assignments, and just need a little mental break. I've been going from save room to save room in Metroid Dread. Sometimes a little more than a little save room to save room. Sometimes I'm like, you know what, save room, but I know it's a pre-boss save room, so I'm going to do the boss, and then I'm going to call it good after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm obsessed with Metroid Dread.
That's good. How far are you even in?
I don't know, like half an hour.
Okay. Is the obsession more of like you can't wait to play it, or are you obsessed with what you're actually doing in the game?
Both.
Good. That's awesome.
Both. It's just, I love Metroidvanias. I mean, we talked about this last week and how much you hate Metroidvanias.
No, I don't hate Metroidvanias.
So, how much you think it's pretentious?
Yes, I do think it's very pretentious.
Yes. If you want to hear that discussion, go back and listen to that episode, of
it's
course.
It was great.
It was a great episode.
Yeah.
But it's just checking all the right boxes for me, all the things I love about video games. It's embodying all of those in ways that I did not expect.
Right.
So, I'm obsessed.
Cheers with that.
Yep.
But, do you know what came out yesterday, James?
Halo Infinite campaign.
Halo Infinite's campaign came out yesterday, which kind of crept up on me, to be honest. Even though I know it got delayed for a year, it still crept up. And it reviewed very positively, to no one's surprise. Thank God. GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10. They said that Halo Infinite strives to transform what it means to be a Halo game, making Chief into a reluctant father figure for a young, new, and naive AI, and putting him into an open-world setting. It turns out this was a risk worth taking for the franchise, as Infinite is an incredible game. It's kind of a weird line to me. Infinite is an incredible game. Certain story elements are on the weaker side, and the amazing grapple shot makes the rest of Chief's equipment feel a bit lacking in comparison. But these are small shortcomings in what otherwise feels like the best Halo campaign in years, and an excellent evolution of what Halo can be. That's from Jordan Ramey at GameSpot.
Oh yeah. IGN gave it a 9 out of 10. Ryan McCaffrey reviewed this. He says, Halo Infinite single-player campaign is exactly what this series needed. It brings out the best in Master Chief's unique and satisfying combat style while leveraging old ideas to create memorable new moments. Its story falls short for both new and veteran players, but it was worth the six-year wait.
That's two that are like, eh, on the story, but everything else is really good.
And that is kind of how Halo goes.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, everybody really talks that Halo has, like, amazing stories. Like, it's really, really good.
They?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Are you kidding me? I have not heard that.
The guy I played all the co-op games with, Colton, shout out Colton, he could tell me every lore beat in every Halo moment, like what was happening here. We would be going through something. He's like, oh, you hear this? They were talking about this moment earlier. Like, people that are really into it are really into it.
Yes.
From a perspective of me coming in brand new to Halo and never playing a Halo game before, I was like, this story is just okay. Mm-hmm. The best would be Chief and Cortana's story in like 2 and 3. And that's like what I cared about. I didn't really care about anything else. But yeah, I don't think the stories are anything special, but the gameplay's sick. So
maybe it's like I almost want to make the comparison to Star Wars, where like people who are new to Star Wars don't really see the appeal as much. They're like, oh, this is pretty, like, it's okay. Like, I'm here for maybe this relationship or for this dynamic. But people who are like been into it for a while, they know the lore.
Sure.
Like, they know they got into it. They were into it as a kid. So like, it just became that obsessive thing that's like, oh, like, I want to know all about this.
That's fair. I could see that happening for sure. I think also I am less excited to play the campaign because multiplayer came out early. I feel like I've played the game, you know? I haven't played the campaign.
Do you know, especially because especially because you can unlock cosmetics for multiplayer in the campaign.
I just don't feel a rush to play the campaign right now.
That's true.
But like, I'm excited to play it for sure. I just don't feel like I need to play it this instant, which I kind of want it to feel like I want. Like,
you
want to
be in the conversation. Same thing like when AAA games normally come out. Like Ratchet and Clank, that was really big for both of us.
Yeah. I don't know. Regardless, so happy that it's reviewing positively.
Other reviews include Windows Central giving it a 5 out of 5. Seems a little biased.
That's fair.
Game Informer, 9.25 out of 10, with a Metacritic of 86, a cumulative, and an Open Critic of also 86, a cumulative.
Which is interesting. When those line up, that means everybody's pretty on the same page.
Which is great.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Because that's consumer and critic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But
NFTs come to Ubisoft games, starting with Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
This is going to be an interesting conversation, James. I want to hear all your thoughts about this.
Okay, I think I'll have less thoughts on it than you think I will.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay. NFTs are coming to Ubisoft's Ghost Recon Breakpoint as unique collectible.
Let's just pause right there.
What's an NFT?
No. We cannot go over what an NFT is, because neither of us really know what an NFT is. Only a little bit. But Ubisoft is bringing in NFTs, and their choice of game to bring NFTs in first,
Ghost Recon Breakpoint, baby,
is one of worst games of 2019.
Yep.
Which I saw a tweet by Gene Park that says, wow, Ubisoft really wants to make Ghost Recon Breakpoint the worst game of 2022 also. It was very funny.
That's hella funny.
Sorry, continue.
NFTs are coming to Ubisoft's Ghost Recon Breakpoint as unique, collectible, and world cosmetics. The publisher announced Tuesday. Ubisoft described the implementation of NFTs in its game as an experiment, heading off concern about the environmental impact of the technology by calling its new venture as energy efficient and environmentally sustainable. This sounds like a scam. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. Digits, as Ubisoft calls them, will be the first NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Quote, playable in a AAA game. The publisher said. Digits will be introduced to Breakpoint's Windows PC versions via the Ubisoft Connect platform. Ubisoft is also setting up another platform called Ubisoft Quartz to manage the acquisition of these NFTs. Quote, each digit is a unique collectible that features its own serial number for others to see in-game. End quote. It keeps going. Ubisoft sent a statement announcing Quartz, also keeping track of its current and previous owners for years to come, making players an integral part of the game's history. The statement said digits are playable cosmetic items that provide... That's kind of counterintuitive. Playable cosmetic items that provide players the ability to personalize their experience and complete their missions with style. With digits, items are no longer bound to a player's game inventory since they can be put on sale for other eligible players to acquire outside of the Ubisoft ecosystem, the company said. Today's announcement said Ubisoft digits will be stored on the Tezos blockchain, which is a proof-of-stake blockchain, as opposed to the more energy-intensive proof-of-work blockchains of Ethereum or Bitcoin.
I cannot explain either of those.
Ethereum or Bitcoin?
No, proof-of-stake / proof-of-work.
Oh, I couldn't either.
Yeah.
A single transaction on Tezos uses roughly the same amount of energy as streaming 30 seconds of video, Ubisoft asserted.
Totally odd stat to me. Very, I don't know.
Ubisoft's announcement on Tuesday said Quartz culminates the company's four-year exploration of blockchain technology through in-house research and development and close collaboration with renowned specialists within the startup ecosystem. Update. Ubisoft has now delisted the announcement video for its Quartz NFT platform after receiving more than 95% dislikes on YouTube. They axed it.
Which is funny because YouTube got rid of their dislikes being public, which means it must have been really bad.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk about this a little bit. There is no surprise here that Ubisoft has been talking about putting NFTs in their game, / the conversation of NFTs in gaming in general. This seems to be the first time it's said out loud that it's being implemented, right? Now, I just want to say that some of the things in here are fine to me. I think that having like a cosmetic that is a one-item cosmetic that has like a player history attached to it, and you can trade like other cosmetics for cosmetics, that is a cool feature to me. Now, I don't think it should be tacked on to a previous game or something. Something needs to be built around that for that to make sense.
What do you mean by that?
Like, that needs to be a core piece of the game.
Oh, yes.
That, like, okay, I can have this one of one item or whatever, and you can have a different one of one item, and I like yours better, and you like mine better, and we're just going to trade that. Yeah. That's very cool to me. I like that. the fact that they're trying to do the whole cryptocurrency into like a gun skin, into like a mask, and like put it into a game that nobody plays, not a single person plays, which actually might be genius because this might be a testing ground just for this. Like, nobody's going to touch the game besides for this NFT thing that they're doing with it. So that could be interesting. But it just feels weird. It feels off. Like, and we've seen on social media, nobody wants it.
No one wants to look like a... no one wants to be a weird monkey skin.
Yeah, that's not, like, that's not my problem. Like, it's the actual cosmetic things. It's, like, the business behind this. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
It feels so interesting because... And interesting is a generous word. Because they're talking about these transactions being less energy consuming than other methods of transactions over a digital platform, but the transactions wouldn't exist in the first place if NFTs weren't implemented.
Yeah, it doesn't. Why 30 seconds of video streaming is one transaction? Can't you, like,
is there another metric that you can base that off of?
Because I'm
like an actual metric of energy,
it doesn't correlate.
Maybe my leftist is showing in saying this, but I'm not behind the idea of having, like, markets based around, like, these super unattainable skins. That, like, I don't want the StockX of skins.
I think that is unavoidable to an illegal...
We haven't had it, but we...
Counter-Strike Global Offense. Point in case, baby.
But those were all... that forever. But you got those from loot boxes.
Yeah. How else are you going to get these?
You directly trade them.
Are you going to directly buy these one-of-one things also?
That's what I thought you were implying.
No, because, I mean, that would be crazy. That'd be crazy if they're going to make some designer is sitting at their desk right now, and they make a little red skin with, like, a couple black dots on it, and it's pretty cool. And they put that up for however much of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, oh, this skin is worth $14 in Tezos or whatever the currency is. People are going to bid on that. The game's already dead. Nobody's going to want to buy a skin for that game and only be able to use it in that game. People are going to want to buy a skin and use it in multiple games. That is only their thing.
Mm.
And that's a little cooler to me, but still it feels scammy. Like you said,
I just want anyone to be able to have the skin. Like, I don't like the idea of having one exclusive skin that I bought.
Yeah, there has to be a way to get it that where you don't have to buy it. That's what's interesting to me.
Or at least I want everyone to have the opportunity to buy their own. I don't want to have to corner the market. Because, you know, there's going to be some dudes with fat amounts of money who corner the market on certain skins. So that in order to get if I want to get a skin from Joe, and Joe's the guy, I got to go through the middleman to get the skin. He goes, hey, I got my boy Joe. He's got the skin hookup.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? Your friends and family, I'll get you this friends and family discount on the skin. No tax on the skin. He said, you know what? That sounds great. How much is it going to be? He said, it's $300 for the skin, but you can use it in all these games. I'm like, fuck you. I don't want a $300 skin.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, I'm just not with that.
Sure.
And maybe I'm oversimplifying the situation. Maybe this isn't actually what it's going to be like.
Right. But it could be.
But it could be, and that's... I don't fuck with that.
Okay. I see Ubisoft's approach to this as a problem, but I don't see the one-of-one things as a problem in the future if done well. This does not seem like it makes sense.
How would that be done well in your eyes? Like, what do you have an example of, like, a model that would work well for you?
I don't.
Okay.
But I could see it working. In my head.
With how do you see it working?
With what I explained, just not paying for things off the bat, but more of a trading type thing.
So, okay, how about this?
I don't want to have to buy cryptocurrency to buy.
What's the point of trading if there's no, like, if there's no sort of exclusivity to these skins?
There's going to be exclusivity to these skins.
See, that's just the part I don't fuck with.
But didn't you specifically say on our Halo episode that you want something that nobody else can get?
But
cosmetically,
here's the thing. It's not that not everyone has the option to get it. Everyone has the option to get it.
Okay.
But if they put in the work and the time.
Got it.
Right. It's not like, it's not behind a wall.
Yeah.
So if I own something, that means no one else can get it.
So how do you feel about other, like, free-to-play games, for instance, having an expensive paywall for skins and stuff
I don't
that everybody can have? Everybody can have them, but it's $55 for two skins. That's like Valorant right now.
That I don't is... like that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to hate this. You're going to hate everything that this has to do with.
This is where I stop being a gamer.
Yeah.
This is where I leave my hat at the door and I retire to my old, my room with the single window and it casts a dim light through it. And sure. I sit on the edge of my bed smoking a cigarette at 2 a.m. in the morning, wondering what gaming used to be like.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think that this appeals to games that I'm not going to play very often. Like this,
Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Like Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which God bless it. But
they're start. Well, here's the thing. They're starting low so that in the end they can fuck you in Valorant.
Maybe. I don't know. But what I really think here is that Breakpoint is not going to be a game remembered for how terrible it is. It is going to be a game remembered for how terrible it is for its NFT implementation. But it's going to be like a sandbox. Like, I can't wait to see like what kind of crap they're going to do in there and break the game. That's going to be interesting.
That is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Fun to see that explode.
And not participate in myself.
Oh, I will be participating. I can't wait. Are you kidding me? They're going to give away free ones too? I can't wait to see how it's going to go. I'm so curious. I can't shoot it in the foot yet, you know?
I'd like to shoot it in the head.
Yeah. I can't wait. Watch this. This free one I'm going to get is going to be worth $50,000 in 2 years. And I'm going to sell it.
Is he going to retire?
James is going to be like, wow.
$50,000.
He's like, dude, I should have just collected that one thing in for 3 minutes. And I'm going to have student debt paid off with this skin. It's going to be great. I'm just going to move to somewhere nice. It'll be a whole thing off this. Right? Right, everybody? It's on the same page. Okay. Anyways, NFTs. Okay, next up, PlayStation Plus.
Let's go. This is so exciting.
This is exciting. I'm a little nervous.
We'll talk about it after you read it.
Okay. PlayStation plans new service to take on Xbox Game Pass from Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. The service, codenamed Spartacus, will allow PlayStation owners to pay a monthly fee for access to a catalog of modern and classic games, said the people who asked not to be identified because they weren't authorized to speak to the press about the plans.
Fair enough.
This is big leaky boy.
Ooh.
I lost my place. The offering will likely be available on the smash hit PlayStation 4. Why did they say it like that?
Jason!
Which has sold more than 116 million units and its elusive successor, the PlayStation 5, which has launched more than a year ago, but is still difficult to buy due to supply chain issues. When it launches, expected in the spring, which is very soon.
That is very soon.
The service will merge Sony's two existing subscription plans, PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now. Currently, the PlayStation Plus is required for most online multiplayer games and offers free monthly titles, while PlayStation Now allows users to stream or download older games. Documents reviewed by Bloomberg suggest that Sony plans to retain the PlayStation Plus branding, but phase out PlayStation Now. This is great.
We've talked about this before.
We have talked about this. We had a whole episode where we said, what's the perfect way that Sony could implement this?
Maybe they listened to our video and we inspire them, and now they're taking our ideas.
That was very Tim Robinson.
That was my intention. Yeah.
You guys need to watch I Think You Should Leave. There's my...
It's so good.
Yeah, suggestion. Okay. Details on Spartacus.
What is Spartacus?
That is their code name for the service.
Sorry, I messed it. It's right in the first bullet point. I'm sorry.
The details may still not be finalized, but documentation reviewed by Bloomberg outlines the service with three tiers. James, listen to this. The first tier would include existing PlayStation Plus benefits, so just PlayStation Plus. Sure. The second tier would offer a large catalog of PlayStation 4 and eventually PlayStation 5 games. Okay. And the third tier would add extended demos, game streaming, and a library of classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games.
Whoa.
Representative for PlayStation didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, which, okay, could mean anything.
Whatever, sure.
Sony is also putting resources into expanding its efforts into cloud gaming. The people familiar with the plan said, Microsoft's xCloud game streaming service became widely available early this year. James, initially, bam, spit me.
I feel like it's very much Xbox. At first, I was like, this is just Xbox Live, like bronze, silver, gold.
Yeah.
But then I was like, but it's really just Game Pass Ultimate, like Game Pass for current gen, and then Game Pass, it's just like PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
Right, first include existing... Okay, so bottom tier is just normal, like, discounts.
It's right...
And
it's
monthly games. It's what we have right now. Cool. I'm super into this idea.
Okay.
I just think Sony's been needing to step up this for a long time. I have one friend who's really into PlayStation now. There's always a couple who's really into it, and I'm like, I just can't. Being able to download your games is huge, because when you're streaming games, especially over certain networks, is just very inconsistent. But I could be really into this.
Yeah.
Also, we're one step closer to just being completely streaming, and I just don't need a console anymore, which is nice. Which sounds
physical
great.
Media, baby.
That's
big
true.
Fan. Big fan.
But when you live a nomadic lifestyle, when you're just moving around a lot.
Do you live a nomadic lifestyle?
I could potentially be.
Okay.
My career could involve me moving around a lot. So I don't want to have to take a PlayStation with me.
Sure.
But if I have good Wi-Fi and like the hotel or apartments that I get put up in.
Yeah. Okay.
I could make it work.
Absolutely. This is where it gets interesting to me is the playing the library of PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games. I like that.
Yes.
But there has to be a couple caveats that come with this for me to probably bump up to that tier.
Like, are you talking about like Game Boost type caveats? Like,
oh, that would be cool, but I wasn't even thinking that.
Okay.
I want full trophy support for these two. I don't want to just play them. I want to be able to play them and earn trophies towards my overall goal. I need to feel like I actually not just said I played it, but like earn achievements from it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or else you lose a sense of something there. My PSP, for instance, my PS Vita.
Mm.
See, you can crack those bad boys and play these games on your PS Vita and get trophies for them for free, which is not great, but you could do it. They need to compete with that too, because it's very easy to do this. Like,
but I feel like there's just not a lot of people who are doing that.
It's pretty niche. But like, what is stopping me from doing that than paying $25 a month or however this is going
to
cost?
You don't have to. First of all, you don't have to buy a PlayStation Vita. Second of all, you don't have to go through the effort of cracking PlayStation Vita.
Right, but that's kind of fun. That's kind of fun for me. Also, Vita boys, come on, baby. I still got mine. Mine's at home, you know.
I was a PSP boy, but not a Vita boy.
The PSP where the back opens and you slap that circle disc.
Absolutely.
In.
Yeah. I still have them.
It's great. I got Kill Bill for that.
The movie?
Yeah.
I had a few movies on that bad boy. Uh-huh.
Maybe Shrek also. That was about the time. It's about the time.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. What do you think prices are going to be for the three tiers now? Let's say baseline right now, PlayStation Plus is $10 a month.
$10 a month. I think it'll go $15 a month for the top.
Okay. I'm thinking they drop the base price to
like $8.
Yeah, like $7.99.
$7.99, yeah.
And then you have this next one where you get a couple games for $12.99.
And then $15. $14.99?
$19.99.
What is Game Pass Ultimate right now?
It's $20 because that Game Pass Ultimate comes with cloud streaming too. So I'm assuming that the highest tier would come with cloud streaming also.
Okay. I buy it.
It would have to be really worth it. I don't know.
I think they could just do the same price. I don't think it, because it is the same market, but it's not the same market.
Yeah.
Because people with PlayStations are going to naturally lean toward that, and people with Xbox are going to lean towards Game Pass.
Right.
And it goes both ways because you're going to get overlap from PlayStation players on Xbox who want to play those exclusives.
Yeah.
You're going to get Xbox players who want PlayStation exclusives. They want to play God of War. They want to play Horizon.
Yep.
Doing that. And it's great for everyone because Sony gets money from that and people get to play what they want to play. And Xbox people get, or Xbox execs get money from that and people play what they want to play.
The only flaw I see in this plan right now is there's no PC implementation, which is obvious to be like, I mean, obviously PlayStation's really not in that market besides putting some of their first-party games in there.
What I was going to say. I was going to say they're leaning towards it. They're getting into it.
But this kind of Game Pass is nice because you can play anywhere. That's their thing. So you can play it on your phone. You can play it on your computer, your Xbox. Yep. This is like, do you have a PlayStation console?
Yep.
And I'm like, to have a PlayStation console.
I don't know.
Right.
Maybe they make a little PlayStation.
A Chromecast?
PlayStation Series S.
PlayStation Chromecast. That's what I want. You just plug it into the screen.
That's what I want out of both Microsoft and PlayStation.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome. It's just all game streaming.
Yep.
Stadia stick.
It would. This is Stadia.
F. R.I.P.
But just with like better management.
Hey, Stadia works. I just want to shout out Stadia works. Great.
It was a good proof of concept. Now wait for other people to do it better.
You think something crazy happens and like Sony or Microsoft buys Stadia? I think that would be awesome.
Yeah,
they just implement the technology and
I think
kill it.
Absolutely happen. I think Microsoft would do it first.
Yeah, 100%. That's their alley right there.
Yeah, good old Phil Spencer.
So I guess we have to get more information on this soon because it launches in spring. So
yeah, we really do. Maybe a little Game Awards. Ooh.
Can you imagine?
It could happen. There's supposed to be a lot of big reveals tonight.
I'm going to cry. Wow. I'm going to cry.
Okay. Next up, this is a lot more sombering information.
Yep.
This is big news. Very serious. So we're going to... PlayStation executive fired after appearing in pedophile sting video. Sony Interactive This comes from Polygon. Sony Interactive Entertainment fired George...
Kakapo. I don't know. Kashiopo.
Kashiopo. Kashiopo? I'm going to say Kashiopo. C-A-C-I-O-P-P-O. A senior vice president in its engineering division after he allegedly appeared in YouTube pedophilia sting video. YouTube channel People vs. Preds. Great channel name.
Yeah.
Which streamed the encounter Friday, is a vigilante group that conducts amateur sting operations to expose alleged predators. Cacioppo is accused of inviting a 15-year-old boy over for sex over Grindr and text messages. According to People vs. Preds, Sony told CNET Sunday that Cacioppo had been terminated from employment. Cacioppo worked at Sony on its PlayStation Network, according to his LinkedIn profile. He'd been with the company for more than 8 years before his termination. People vs. Preds video shows a camera person approaching his home in the dark with Cacioppo wearing a PlayStation 5 t-shirt. That's so on brand.
Did you see the video?
I did.
Yeah.
Reportedly standing outside. When the camera person confronts the man, he walks back into the house and shuts the door. People vs. Preds also published chat logs wherein Cacioppo appears to invite a person pretending to be a 15-year-old over for sexual acts. Which also, Grindr is like, it has an 18-year-old limit on it in the first place, I'm pretty sure. A People vs. Preds representative told Kotaku that it turned over evidence to police after posting the video publicly, saying, quote, the police department doesn't work with cyber groups like us, the representative said. That's when the internet takes over.
Sure.
The internet. Sony has not responded to Polygon's request for comment.
Yeah, this guy? Yeah,
he's a piece of shit.
Lock him up.
Fuck this guy.
You have been caught the most red-handed, and, like, there's nothing...
You've been caught, asshole.
There's nothing you can do. This is bad. So, yeah, I'm glad they fired him immediately with no one. This is no Blizzard situation where someone tried to be like, oh, he didn't really do that. They just said, nope, he's gone.
You're like, all right, you're out of here. Which is great management 100%. Response. Oh, my God. Yep. Shout out Sony.
Yep.
Also, I think it's... I hate to comment on the entertainment value of this, but the just cyber groups and the internet's, like, mentality of, like... It's the Batman sort of like, the cops don't want to interfere. We have to do what we must to make sure there's justice in this city.
It's a great thing and an awful thing at the same time.
I'm for it. I'm power to the people, man. Yeah, I know. Let's fucking go.
Oh my God. Next up, Destiny 2 is getting Halo guns for Bungie's 30th anniversary. This comes from GamesRadar. Bungie is bringing Halo-inspired weapons to Destiny 2 as part of its 30th anniversary bundle. The launch trailer for the nostalgic content pack, which will go live later today, isn't shy about its Halo influences. Hell, the first thing it shows is half of a Halo energy sword in the hands of a Titan. The next shot is even more exciting. A hunter uses a hand cannon, or perhaps a sidearm, based on the iconic Halo pistol to three-tap someone in PvP, before vaulting off a true blue flag grenade and swapping to a pulse rifle, which couldn't look more like the Halo battle rifle if it tried. There's even a ghost-inspired Sparrow, and not like the talkative kind of ghost, the Covenant kind. I love that.
That's good writing.
Mm-hmm. The Bungie stuck to legally distinct Destiny's veneer, but Destiny 2 is officially 100% more Halo than it was before. There are some more goodies in the 30th Anniversary Pack 2, including the returning Destiny 1 hand cannon. I always forget how to say this. I think it's Ice Luna? Something like that. It's been a long time since
I remember that.
It has like these warped, like, I don't know, bone like kind of barrel thing that goes around. It's kind of cool. It's like gray.
Hmm.
And the iconic rocket launcher Galahorn, which has retained its trademark tracking wolf pack rounds and a buttload of cosmetics.
Didn't they already reveal
Galahorn?
Yeah. Okay.
This is just came, they just bundled it in with this pack to make it bigger and more. Gear aside, the headliners for the 30th anniversary pack are now the Grasp of Avarice dungeon, which is accessed via the original Cosmodrome loot cave, and the free six-player activity Dares of Eternity, which is just the new dungeon. That's all that means. Both these will be playable starting today, so get ready to blast through the past in the name of all new loot. And this is also includes the biggest balance patch ever is also going live today, so expect your Guardians to play quite differently from before. this is perfect timing because this season is double as long as any other season they've had in this last year. So about halfway through, re-upping with like a bunch of new guns, a new dungeon, a new event, and balance patching too. That's sick. That's great. Mm-hmm. So happy for them. They're in good, they're in full stride for Witch Queen at the beginning of the year. So that's very exciting.
Do you know what I'd like to see from Destiny? This is just me dreaming at this point. But I would like to see Destiny as well as other Battle Pass model games.
With NFTs. I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm joking.
I'd like them to adopt the same style as Halo to where you can go back and work on those Battle Passes. Because
I'm not ready to say that because I don't know how Halo's works yet. And right now I don't like it. With the things that we've seen.
In regards to? I just need to know specifically.
Specifically, the, let's say, special limited time event. I don't like how that works.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just, like, the general...
What we've been told about how seasons work in Halo. Like, with the Battle Pass being, so if you buy it, you can go back and earn stuff towards it.
Sure, but you're saying, like, we haven't, like, seen that played out yet?
I'm too... Yeah, I can't.
So you're scared that when season two comes out, they're going to lock out that first one and be like, oh.
I don't know if they lock it out, but I'm 100% expecting some sus. Like, well, you have to like earn the XP for this, but you can't use like they're going to limit it or something because they want you to work on the newer ones. I don't know. I'm just expecting it. With the way that they've handled the Battle Pass right now.
I don't hold that same skepticism yet.
Okay.
But we'll see how it develops. Because there's just a lot of cool things in older Battle Passes that are like, it takes a while to get there. At least for me, someone who's a more casual player. You really have to be devoted to Destiny to really get the whole thing.
Right.
So I think that'd be great, especially because they lock out, it's not like they're yearly seasons. So like Overwatch, when it does its seasonal events, they'll come around during the next time and like old armor will be discounted. So you can buy those that you would normally have to get a loot box for, and you can just get those same things again. There's not really an option for that in Destiny, to my knowledge. Or you can go back and get the seasonal armor.
No.
You can get the seasonal... You can get some of the seasonal armor, but not the higher tiers of it.
Yeah, this is tough. This is a conversation that, we'll always have when it comes to cosmetics and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I do like a point to where it's like, okay, you played during this time, you have this, and like only people that played during that time can have this. But
I don't like that.
I love it. Cause like for instance in Destiny, when there was a trace rifle that was broken, it launched with the thing. And if you played PvP during the week where it was just it one hit everything, you got an emblem and it's a laser that's going through this skull. And like I have it, but it's such a small percent of the player base that has it because it was right when Destiny started dying hard and before they had major content. And I always wear it because I'm like, oh yeah, I was here for that. And that's like a little thing for me that would bring me back. That's like, okay, I was there. Like I'm a part of Destiny. If anybody could have it, that would be no special to me. And there's no reason I would want it if everybody had it. So there has, for me
but there's
personally,
still, like, there's,
there has to be something.
But I don't think everyone is going to grind through an entire battle pass.
No.
But right, like even if you went back and did it, the percentage of people who would go back and like play like every single battle pass is so small.
That's why I want armor sets specific to strikes and raids and stuff that you could do it on higher difficulties because that's an achievable thing that like anybody could do. But if you have that armor, it means you actually had to do it.
Like in D1,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the battle pass stuff, that is their only way right now of gating content during certain times. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think everything is gated. It's just that armor set per season. There should just be more armor sets that you could be able to grind out in the way that you want to grind it out. That way it's best for both sides. Because Destiny kind of thrives on FOMO as much as I hate it. That's that's how their player base maintains. It's still pretty big. Their player base is still large. That's just my thoughts.
Developing.
Good times.
Halo subreddit has been locked due out of... that really tripped me. Halo subreddit has been locked due to out-of-control infinite backlash. This comes from PCGamesN.com. The official Halo Infinite release date is just days away. Sorry, it is...
It's launched now.
Launched now?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
This was 3 days ago.
Okay, but the reaction to the early release of the multiplayer side and the backlash to certain decisions, such as the lack of Slayer playlists, has reportedly, quote, spiraled out of control to the point where the whole Halo Reddit page has been locked. According to the mods on the r/Halo subreddit, this criticism and backlash has spiraled out of control, and the amount of toxicity on the sub from both sides has forced them to lock the page for any new posts. The subreddit will reopen on Monday, when their hopeful fans will settle down a bit. The mods say that their primary goal is limiting insults and toxicity, advising users to report anyone breaking the rules, and to let them try to do the job we volunteered for, rather than throw insults back. Most worryingly, the mods even report that some users on the sub even have been responsible for doxing and death threats, which they've had to deal with. At the end of the day, this is a video game, and this level of vitriol is unwarranted.
Yeah.
Settle the fuck down, gamers.
It's bad. There's some bad posts.
No one hates games more than gamers, dude.
Yeah. There was a lot of toxic stuff I saw, and a lot of people commenting, like, why? Like, you have a good Halo game out. Like, just, yeah, exactly. Chill out.
Be happy, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that's something. Co-op adventure It Takes Two is hit by a Take-Two trademark claim.
This is so ironic.
This is hilarious. This comes from Destructoid. Hazelight, the developer of co-op adventure game It Takes Two, is facing a trademark claim from Take-Two, the company. Eurogamer reports that the game was the target of a trademark claim from Take-Two and has to abandon its trademark. Records show Hazelight's abandonment of the It Takes Two trademark. It was reportedly struck with the claim earlier this year when it launched, but has since had to let the trademark go. A spokesperson for Hazelight told Eurogamer that the studio cannot comment on ongoing disputes, but the team remains hopeful it will be resolved. The studio didn't comment on how it has affected its ability to market It Takes Two or how it affects any plans to rename the game or any potential sequels. Can you imagine how much that would suck?
Mm-hmm.
Take-Two has recently been going after a number of disputes, so at least It Takes Two has company. The co-op marriage repair simulator has otherwise been having a good year. It was well-received on release and is even up for Game of the Year.
Yep.
Joseph Ferris and the team at Hazelight. Joseph Ferris is the iconic, fuck the Oscars, that guy. And the team at Hazelight previously worked on the co-op prison escape game A Way Out. Hopefully this trademark dispute with Take-Two is a blip in the pan for Hazelight, though I'd expect their next game won't contain any words or phrases like rock, star, pain, max, or anything of that future.
This feels dumb.
You see what they did there?
Yeah, this feels dumb, though.
It feels dumb, but Take-Two's taking it very seriously.
Of course they
Very seriously.
That's a very Take-Two-ass thing to do.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was, is it Joseph Ferris? Is that the correct?
Yeah, Joseph Ferris. Okay. Yeah.
I just thought of him being so pissed.
He's going to rant tonight.
I can't. That's exactly what I thought of. I can't wait for that.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Did you see he posted a picture on Twitter of him in the airplane, like, on my way? And and Jeff Keighley quote tweeted it, and it was just the alarms. Like, seven of the alarm emojis.
Oh,
like,
I can't wait. Wee. I can't wait, dude.
Oh, it's going to be epic.
It's going to be a great
You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
Wow.
Can be crazy.
Next up, wait, do you have any more thoughts on this?
No, it's just funny. Okay. I had to add it because a lot of people were talking about it.
Next up, best part of the show, stories without a story, random fun stuff. I'm gonna get us started off. Microsoft appears to have filed a trademark for Halo the Endless. We don't know what that is, but it's the Endless.
Yep. Game Awards are today. Expect a lot of announcements. Jeff Keighley says, quote, there are at least four or five things at the Game Awards on the same level as Elden Ring gameplay reveal trailer from Summer Games Fest.
I can't fucking wait.
So, get ready, please.
God of War PC features revealed.
You can look up. It's all the stats and all that good stuff. You know? Mm-hmm. Nick Offerman cast as Bill in HBO's The Last of Us, which is a great casting, in my opinion.
Incredible. There's a burp coming.
Okay, burp it out. Yep.
Excuse me.
There it is.
GTA Online's next big update brings back Franklin and adds Dr. Dre.
Mm-hmm. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection launches January 28th, 2022 on PS5. It's a $10 upgrade if you already have the game. This will not work if you have the PS Plus version of Uncharted 4.
Damn.
But this is nice. Let's say you own Lost Legacy and you pay the $10 upgrade. You get Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy with it.
Are these just all like up-reses and stuff like that?
It's up-reses. You can play it in 120, bro.
That's insane.
Yeah.
There is a new Warzone map. Cool.
It actually looks pretty cool. It's pretty nice. It's like Pacific themed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
like tropical?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, we have a question of the week from Cheesy Plays. James, hit me with what you think. With it being the holiday season and Manscaped having your jingle balls in shape, I was curious what one of your favorite Christmas themes events in gaming that you've experienced. It could be DLC, event specific, or a game, whatever.
I have it right off the bat. The very first winter after GTA Online came out, everyone is like everyone is like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? There have been like rumors of it snowing in GTA Online.
Yeah.
It was right after the mobster update.
Okay.
And they just hit us with it out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
At some time at night, you had to like refresh your game. You had to like go through the long ass GTA loading screen. And so people were like closing out their games and reopening it time after time again. And then finally, like, it was dark. There's a little bit of like fog going on. And like the street is covered with snow.
That's sick.
And you figure out, oh, I can pick up snowballs. I can throw them at people.
Yeah, that's good.
And it was a great time.
I love that. That's great.
It was really fun.
For me, I don't know if I have like an event, a Christmas event that I liked more than anything. I know like a lot of shooters try to do it, you know, they're like Christmas costumes and those don't really do it for me.
Not even Overwatch?
Even, yeah, it's just skin. Like
Overwatch ones.
I think I like when they add like a fun little gameplay thing that's gimmicky, that's not like a part of the game. I kind of like that. I can tell you right now, Destiny 2 has not done a good seasonal event for Christmas, even though people love Spirit of the Whatever.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's really grindy. It's not for me.
No.
But I think I pick like a Christmas game. Like Miles Morales is a great Christmas game.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas game.
Yeah, like things like that I am much more privy to. So, yeah. That's it.
That's it.
That's episode 92. Close us out.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for everyone for supporting us, leaving reviews, subscribing, all of those things. Super helpful for you. Helpful for you guys. Super thankful for you guys. Thank you to Cheesy for writing in the question of the week. I'd encourage you all to do the same. You can find us on Discord, which is linked in the description below. Thank you so much for supporting us. Have a great week. And also, we're in the season where I can say happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And we will see you for our final episode in person next week. Episode 93 will be, well, not final. I'm just for now.
Well, final in person.
Final in this room. We'll say that. Peace out, guys.
Peace out, guys.
See you next week.